think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
The U.S. is now starting to organize charter flights and other transportations for Americans to leave Israel beginning today. This is nearly a week after the Israeli-Hamas war began. Reuters is reporting that Americans will be, quote, asked to sign an agreement to repay the U.S. government prior to departure and should be prepared to arrange their own lodging and onward travel from Greece, Germany, or Cyprus to their final destination.
Did you hear what she just said? That Americans were going to evacuate from a war-torn area of Israel. They're going to have to arrange in advance to pay for their transportation. What the hell is the Biden administration doing? Oh, we got so much to deal with Israel, Hamas, the money in Qatar. Is it frozen? Is it not? Is it being used to fund Hamas and other terrorists? And, of course, we certainly know it is. And the State Department basically saying, oh, no, we don't see any real tie between Iran and the Hamas terrorists. Are you an idiot? Yes, you are. And you're supposedly some of our highest intel in this administration. I'm angry beyond angry at this point. And I know many of you are. And that one statement, Maria Bartiromo reporting on Reuters, yes, the U.S. is going to work to fly planes in, but you're going to have to arrange to pay for your flight before you leave and then your own lodging once you arrive in the U.S. We flew untold hundreds out of Afghanistan, and rightly so, if they were qualified. We're still not sure how many got into the country. There were probably Taliban terrorists just jumping on board the planes. But we flew them in because, one, we should. We had told them we would take care of them if we ever left to make sure that they and their families were protected because they assisted U.S. forces during the time we were in Afghanistan. We flew them. We didn't demand you pay for this flight. We're going to get you out of here. And where we landed them, supposedly at a military base in most cases, they were given free lodging, food, and everything else. And then, of course, we got all these coming across the border illegally. And then we're putting them on planes, paying to send them somewhere else, or by buses. And American citizens, they might hold dual passports, Jewish and American. But to get them out of harm's way, if you want to get on one of those planes, you're going to have to predetermine how you're going to pay. Here we go. Thanks for joining us. This is October the 16th, 2023, the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors, USA, back-to-back. I remind you that while we're on the air, video is streaming at Newstalk STL Facebook, Larry Connors USA Facebook, and on Rumble. If you miss anything, or you want to go back and look at it, or you want to take it and share it with someone, go to LarryConnorsUSA.com, LarryConnorsUSA.com. And I encourage you to do so because I'm afraid a lot of this information is not getting out to the general public. The best we're pushing is here, and you helping help spread the word. I do appreciate it. Now, the other issue, of course, is we know we have Americans in there. How many Americans are being held hostage? We don't know. Now, I'm not talking about the ones that are in Israel. We're just trying to get out of Israel. I'm talking about some that are probably in the Gaza Strip and hostages that are still alive. The numbers have been fluctuating. If I gave you a number, I could not stand by it. I've had numbers or heard numbers from maybe 50 to 80, maybe 200 U.S. citizens. And again, they might have dual passports, but they're considered U.S. as far as the Hamas terrorists are concerned, both either Israeli or Jewish, I mean, or U.S., they don't care, but particularly U.S., because they've seen this administration just last month trade 5 hostages they wanted to Iran, and Iran releasing five Americans they were holding. Oh, and we gave them $6 million. And we're supposed to believe that was not a ransom payoff. This is what set a lot of this stuff in motion, reaffirming this administration is too weak and is willing to negotiate with hostage takers. The other part of this issue is there doesn't seem to be, in the view of some, a real fast track to get Americans out of the grasp of the Hamas terrorists that are held in the Gaza Strip. Even Jake Tapper of CNNNN raised that question.
Is rescuing the hostages a priority at all? I mean, Israeli news media like Haaretz, they say it doesn't seem like it at all. And frankly, Jake, if my kids were being held hostage in Gaza, and as you know, there are Americans being held hostage in Gaza right now, I'd want you to send in the Navy SEALs. What's the conversation like in the White House about the U.S. conducting any sort of operations in order to save Americans being held hostage in Gaza?
Well, the president has been very clear that he has no higher priority than getting Americans back safe, Americans who are being held hostage by Hamas.
The Israelis are bombing the crap out of Gaza, Jake. I mean, it doesn't seem like saving the hostages are a priority at all right now.
No, it doesn't. Now, we need to take in consideration some other issues. I'm going to chastise, basically excoriate, Jake Sullivan in a moment for some of his comments, but for intel, if you don't know where the hostages are for sure, you can't go in and get them. They were claiming the other day that they would not have air cover because of cloud cover. So any Israeli forces, once they start into the Gaza Strip, they will not have air support. That's a legitimate issue, but it also might be a reason to get more intel. Before this hour is out, I want to share with you what some Israeli canine units are doing and locating those being held in the Gaza Strip. But again, you've got to have good intel. So that could be an explanation for some of the belief that there's no real effort. And you can't really telegraph everything you're doing, obviously, in what you're trying to accomplish in getting the hostages freed. But again, Jake Tapper's view is that there just doesn't seem to be anything going on. Once again, let's review.
It doesn't seem like saving the hostages are a priority at all right now.
Well, for President Biden, they are a priority. They're the highest possible priority, and he has sent hostage experts to coordinate and consult with the Israeli government on hostage recovery efforts. He's also made sure that our diplomats are in touch with third countries in the region to explore avenues for their safe release. I have to be cautious about how much I can say about certain efforts he's undertaking because we want to protect those efforts to give us the best possible chance of getting our people home. Now, Jake, one important point when it comes to the issue of the Navy SEALs is we do not at this point have pinpoint location information for where the American hostages are. So we have to continue to refine our understanding of where they are and even, Jake, who they are, because we know there are 15 unaccounted for Americans, but we cannot confirm the precise number of American hostages being held by Hamas at this time.
And again, I do agree with that. But the other issue I have with Jake Sullivan, he's the same guy who was telling us recently, Middle East is quiet, no issues. And I detailed for you the other day at least five different warning alerts that were going on involving U.S. intel and even Israeli intel. Something was building in the Gaza Strip. Things were not looking normal. But it just got what? Just thrown in the trash can or just, oh, blah, 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 blah. It's the same old, until suddenly the gunfire started. So there's a reason for why there could be some delay in going into the Strip. Diplomats are ramping up talks on aid for Gaza. For aid for Gaza, did you hear what I said? As Egypt is under pressure to open a gate that they will not allow. They don't want Hamas in their country, and they have shuttered the gate, and they were not going to open it up. They are in the process of doing so, and slowly allowing Israelis and maybe Americans who are gathered at that gate an access to freedom, at least to get out of the strip. Now, then comes a statement from President Biden. If he's not lost again, he is in the process of basically warning Israel against occupying Gaza. That's one of his most notable public statements recently. In an interview with CBS 60 Minutes, he said it would be a big mistake for Israel to occupy Gaza. Do you see where this is going again? I told you last week it wouldn't take long before you'd suddenly start seeing people forget about chopping off the heads of babies, forget about slaughtering innocents in the streets. We need to make sure Hamas and the Gaza Strip stay intact. No, the hell we don't. And certainly Israel doesn't. And Senator Rubio points out the reason we're also having trouble getting in to rescue anyone is because the terrorists know how to use hostages and their own citizens in Gaza.
Israel can't coexist with these guys. This group has to be destroyed. But this group follows the same playbook. This is a playbook they've played over and over again. Not just them, by the way, Hezbollah and others. Okay, they attack Israel. They kill a bunch of Jews. Then they take off running and they go hide in Gaza, for example, and they hide behind civilians. Israel responds. Civilians, unfortunately, die because the Hamas uses them as shields. They then go run to the global press and they say, look what Israel's doing. Look how terrible this is. And then everyone puts pressure on Israel to stop before the job is done. And then what happens? Those guys survive and they come back and they kill more Jews in Israel. And that plays out over and over and over again. That's their playbook. They've done it over and over again. And this time has to be different. These guys cannot be allowed. This terrorist organization cannot be allowed to continue as a viable entity. These are the guys who want their own country. Hamas. His position is basically we want to govern not just Gaza, we want you to give us our own country, I imagine, presumably, from which they can then kill even more Jews.
Now, Biden the other day in his interview of 60 Minutes said he does believe Hamas should be eliminated entirely, but there needs to be a Palestinian authority. There needs to be Palestinian state. You can argue this point, and they have continued for decades now, two states, Palestine, Israel. But when you start slaughtering babies, now you're in the process of trying to make an excuse that that's a good reason that babies should be killed in innocence because we have a dispute over land. We'll turn our attention back to our nation. FBI Director Christopher Wray at a San Diego law enforcement group over the weekend said we need to be alert for terrorists inside the states.
In this heightened environment, there's no question we're seeing an increase in reported threats, and we've got to be on the lookout, especially for lone actors who may take inspiration from recent events to commit violence of their own. So I'd encourage you to stay vigilant because as the first line of defense protecting our communities, you're often the first to see the signs that someone may be mobilizing to violence. I'd also ask you to continue sharing any intelligence or observations you may have. And on our end, we're committed to doing the same so that together we can safeguard our communities.
If we're really committed, why won't we shut the border down entirely right now? Whoever's inside the country might still be a threat, but the border continues to be open. After a terrorist attack in Israel, and we haven't done anything about that yet, and then you got Secretary of State Blinken saying, there's no direct evidence linking Iran to the attack on Israel by Hamas, even though they do have close relationships. What do you want them to do? Sign a declaration in blood saying, yes, Iran is supporting Hamas? And Secretary of State Blinken is a Jew, and he dares peddle that kind of BS from the White House? There's no direct evidence. Why don't you just flat say, well, we just don't know who's responsible. And then you got to consider this situation. Coalition for a Prosperous America, that's a leading national bipartisan organization representing exclusively domestic producers and workers across many industries in the U.S. They released a new case study that details the alarming extent to which U.S. asset managers and index providers are actively funneling billions of dollars of U.S. investor capital to Chinese Communist companies, Chinese Communist Party companies, including Chinese firms that have been sanctioned for human rights abuses, and helping liberalize and modernize the China's People Liberation Army. Vanguard, the world's second largest asset manager, acting as a pipeline, as are others. Vanguard, reportedly $8 trillion in global assets, is taking retirement and investment dollars of Americans and sending it to China. Now, how does that play into this? Well, Maria Bartiromo raised that question with Senator Rubio.
Indirectly, absolutely. I would tell you a couple things about China. The first thing they care about, because they're not like our leaders that are stupid, they want the oil. They understand that oil is critical. They may put out statements about global warming and climate change and clean energy, but they want oil. They have the world's largest surplus of refining capacity, and so they don't want to see anything that disrupts the oil supplies in the world because it hurts their economy. The second thing they want is anything that costs, drains America, costs America money, or distracts America. And so in their view, for very little investment, any sort of disruption there that focuses our attention on there instead of Taiwan and things of that nature is positive. And so that's why I think you see the Chinese take the position that they have and have relationship that they have with Iran. In essence, they believe they want to overtake America as the world's great power. They view Iran as an irritant to the United States and a place that we have to focus on. And so the more Iran has power, the more Iran has influence, the more Iran can be a player at our detriment, the better it is for China. And I think you'll continue to see them take this position as the Russians have as well. But the Chinese obviously have a lot more power and influence at this point than the Russians do.
Senator Marco Rubio on U.S. investment companies funneling their investments from pensions and clients direct into China, which in turn can also be sent into Iran and Lebanon and Syria and end up supporting terrorists as well. How do you stop it? You stop it by shutting all that off. I guess it's going to take an act of Congress to do it if they have the balls to do so, but we cannot allow money to continue to go into these companies. You want to make some fast dollars, I understand. And your pension fund, did you know how much of it might be invested in China? And if it's invested in China, is invested in the Chinese Communist Party. And if it's invested in the Chinese Communist Party, it's also being filtered into Iran, which then can also use that money for terrorist activities. And as you heard Senator Rubio say, they're glad to help Iran. They see them as an irritant to us. In other words, another distraction. Same thing Quentin raised the other day. We're being spread so thin, how are we going to defend anything? You got to deal with China, you got to deal with Russia. Now you got to deal with Iran, and you got to deal with Hamas out of Iran. And now out of Lebanon, you got to deal with Hezbollah. And we haven't gotten to Iraq lately, North Korea. The lack of control, the lack of belief that this country knows what it's doing is opening the door for all of this. In the next hour, by the way, if you need a loan, declare you're illegal, I'll explain. And the author of a book on the shadow war, Iran's quest for supremacy. And before this hour is out, a 13-year-old Israeli girl describes how close she came to being killed by Hamas. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Hundreds of homeowners and businesses had or will have water main breaks. Wellington Environmental has a warning. You can clean up the water, but if you're not checking areas where the water leaked in the walls where you can't see it, you could end up exposing your family, your employees, your clients to hazardous mold. Wellington Environmental reminds you, if that mold is not detected, properly treated, removed, that is a risk, a liability you do not want. Wellington clients, including hospitals and schools, trust Wellington to make their environments safe. Call 314-644-4930, 644-4930, AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau, 314-644-4930, Wellington Environmental, your world, cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington.
What if everything you thought and believed to be true about owning and buying your home turned out to be wrong?
Straightforward, objective advice on the right way to make the most out of every dollar you put into your home.
We're the only country that has one of those. Most other countries, considering like Canada, the UK, they don't have long-term fixed-rate mortgages like that. They're all variable-rate mortgages.
HomeWise with Michael Midget, Sunday mornings at 9 on News Talk STL.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps in the afternoon.
Horace, Americans individually have lost over $4,000 in income and over $7,000 where you have a household with both parents working.
It shouldn't be, it's the economy, stupid. We should just say, stupid! It's the economy. Unbelievable the devastation that Americans are feeling.
Tim Jones and Chris Arps, weekdays at 3:30
on News Talk STL.
This is Christina Strait with Strait Realty reminding you why pay more than four. In 2003, we had a dream to start a real estate company that would revolutionize the real estate market. Now, 20 years later, after navigating through the many markets' ups and downs, we know exactly how to help you in this challenging time. I'm Christina Strait, owner Strait Realty. Don't give away your hard-earned equity. Give us a call today, 314-441-4444, 314-441-ALL-4s. And remember, why pay more than four?
Strait Realty is a licensed broker in the state of Missouri.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, some of the things that are beginning to come out slowly as to exactly how the attack by Hamas went down, there have been numerous pieces of information surfacing. One of them comes from the New York Times, is, and I'm quoting them, but I always want to give you the source for some of this information. One, because they deserve the credit for it, if they did the work for it, and if it's correct, they deserve the credit. And there's a thin line between credit and blame, and if they're wrong, I want you to know where the blame lies. But this is a piece by Patrick Kingsley and Rona Bergman with the New York Times trying to reconstruct what happened last week when we had the Hamas terrorists rush into Gaza, I mean into Israel. Here's how they began. They say they interviewed more than 20 survivors, soldiers, military, intel officials, and reviewed Hamas planning documents and footage of the attacks. The 10 gunmen from Gaza knew exactly how to find the Israeli intelligence hub, how to get inside. And after crossing into, that's according to them, after crossing into Israel, they headed east on five motorcycles, two gunmen on each vehicle, shooting at passing civilian cars as they pressed forward. And 10 miles later, they veered off the road into a stretch of woodland, dismounting outside an unmanned gate to a military base. What the hell are you doing? Israel, you have the best security in the world, and you don't have a sentry at the gate of a military base? They blew open the barrier with a small explosive charge, entered the boat base, even paused to take a group selfie. They did find an unarmed Israeli soldier, unarmed. They shot him dead, obviously. And for a moment, they appeared uncertain where to go next. Then one of them pulled something from his pocket. He apparently had a color-coded map of that same complex. Now, where do you think they got that? Then they found, after they got reoriented, an unlocked door to this fortified building. Once inside, they entered a room filled with computers, the military intelligence hub, and under a bed in the room, they found two soldiers taking shelter. I don't know if they were armed or not, but they were shot dead. All of this captured on a camera mounted on the head of a gunman who was later killed. So that's how they know the video, I mean, what actually happened. Hamas gunmen were recording what they were doing. New York Times reviewed the footage, verified the events. After interviewing Israeli officials and checking Israeli military video of the attack as well. So the Hamas commander reviews a map of the base, includes the intelligence hub. And then, of course, they look at how Hamas managed to surprise and overpower the most powerful military in the Middle East last Saturday. With meticulous planning, extraordinary awareness of Israel's secrets and weaknesses, Hamas and its allies overwhelmed the length of the Israeli front with Gaza shortly after dawn. The Gaza Strip runs about 25 miles. There is a 35-mile buffer zone between the Gaza Strip and Israeli territory. And then you've got this large barrier fence. They didn't care. They went rushing in massive manpower and vehicles to the gate, cut their way through, bulldozed their way on through, and then these others on motorcycles started going in. Then they were using motorized power gliders to go onto the beach and shoot the innocents attending that party. And all of this was based because they had some of the Israeli secrets and their witnesses, I mean their weaknesses. Using drones, Hamas then destroyed key surveillance and communication towers along the border. That left large blind spots for the Israeli military. Now, no doubt that signaled something was up if anyone was watching the monitors. But the response was too far away. It was going to take too long. As they continue to use explosives and tractors blowing larger gaps in the border of barricades, more than 200 poured through the first wave, almost 2,000 later in the day. Using motorcycles, pickups, they surged into Israel. They did overwhelm at least 8 military bases, waging terrorist attacks against civilians in 15 villages and cities. To overwhelm 8 military bases, it's not really broken down as to were they also not manned or they did not have weapons out for their troops? I raised this question the other day. How is it you do not have barracks about every 15 plus, maybe 15 to 20 miles max for at least two squads or more along that border area? Apparently they had some bases, but they either weren't fully occupied, were not prepared for it, did not have the weapons. And again, Hamas videos of the assault show that they had sophisticated understanding of how the Israeli military operated. But at this point, it's not sure if the armed forces of Israel were careless with their secrets or they got infiltrated by spies. As written by the New York Times, the revelations have already unnerved officials and analysts who question how the Israeli military, renowned for its intelligence gathering, could have inadvertently revealed so much information about its own operations. This made it clear that Israel just took their eye off the ball. Hamas, apparently, according to a Hamas leader, we were making Israelis think we're just busy governing Gaza. Once they'd kicked out the PLO, Hamas was in control of Gaza, and that's all we're doing. We have no desires to go beyond here. Yet all the while, under the table, according to this Hamas leader, we were preparing for this big attack. And some of the attack information and some of the details might have been provided by one of the terrorists that was killed under the Trump administration, or mapping out things to do and how to do it. It was a long-range plan. He was killed before we left Afghanistan, but the plans were still there. All along the border, according to the New York Times, Hamas gunmen had overrun most, if not all, the Israeli border bases. There was an army base next to one of the villages, in one of the kibbutzes, and the troops were going to be there within moments, according to one of the women who survived. But they quickly overwhelmed the base, and again, is exactly how and why they were charging into the base, and then after that, right into the civilian areas where no one was prepared to deal with attackers. And apparently, as they went into some of the bases at the first light of the morning, again, this is based on some of the video from their helmet cams, they were gunning down soldiers in their beds and underwear, totally caught off guard. And again, in several bases, they knew exactly where communications service were and destroyed them. That's according to a senior Israeli officer. So with many of those surveillance systems down, communication systems down, word was not relayed to what's happening along the border. This is the kind of thing that it is reminiscent of Pearl Harbor. We never expected that kind of attack. But I will have to tell you, I am amazed and also distressed, much less angered, that the Israeli security forces were so slack along the border with the Gaza Strip. Everything I just read to you, if it's true and documented properly by the New York Times, says failure. The Israelis have always been among the most coordinated and most strict security operations in the world. They know they have enemies living all around them. They can never close their eyes. And I also mentioned the other day, and I've got a commentary running as well, you got to have the sentry at the gate. At the bases, how did they get in exactly? Was there no sentry to suddenly start shooting before they got into the troop barracks and started gunning down Israeli soldiers still in their beds? Did they have weapons nearby for them? Or are they all locked in some armor area where there's no way they could get to them? This price for this mistake and the price of learning cost a lot of blood. Israeli citizens, citizens from 15 different nations, including the U.S., and many currently being held hostage. Do you think it could happen again? Well, certainly we hope it would not. But the other issue coming up is, how fast are we going to start seeing people call for, we need to back off. We need, don't go attacking Gaza so hard. Ease up. The hell Israelis should. They should go full force. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. I have only one recommendation for you when it comes to jewelry. Vincent's Jewelers. I've had Vincent's custom make some pieces for me. I've bought quality pieces right out of the case. Vincent's locally owned, supporting local charities for more than 42 years. Check their website daily for new items or specials. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Vincent'sJewelers.com. Give Vincent's a chance for your business. Vincent's, my only jeweler. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash-out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, larry.homesteadfinancial.com.
News, analysis, opinion.
USA, USA. That's a big game, man.
President Xi is really losing control.
People in China didn't ask me about people mowing each other down in a mall.
This is News Talk STL.
It is their responsibility.
Hate is a metastasizing agent.
We're all keeping a close eye on this.
Illegal immigration is crazy right now.
The United States is not being overrun.
News Talk STL.
It is a crisis at the border without question.
At NewsTalkSTL.com.
I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So in addition to what I was telling you earlier from the New York Times, there's now video circulating that appears to capture Israeli Air Force targeting Hezbollah bases. They did start launching some rockets from the northern border of Israel, from Lebanon. There was already talk that that could happen. It's an obvious next step for anybody trying to destroy Israel. Now, there was something that happened over the weekend. Former President Trump had made a remark that Hezbollah appears to be smarter than what we're doing, talking about the Israelis or even the U.S. He was being chastised by those who are looking for a way to condemn him anyway. Remarks got taken out of context to a large extent. But the point he was making stands nakedly factual. They are apparently showing to be smarter, both the Hamas along the Gaza Strip and then Hezbollah. What Trump was saying is that, oh, I hope they don't start launching missiles from the north, you know. Israel should probably know that could happen. And then suddenly the missiles start flying and everybody's saying Trump was encouraging. No, come on. And he's not stating anything that Hezbollah doesn't know, nor Israel. It was just another effort to throw Trump into the mix and basically distract you. Hezbollah has claimed responsibility for a new attack in northern Israel, claiming it killed or wounded several soldiers, destroying two tanks, another military vehicle, and even the Palestine Hamas, which has fighters in Lebanon, in addition to the Gaza Strip, said it had fired several rockets into northern Israel. So Israeli fighter jets have fired back, apparently wiping out some of them. Again, that's according to the Israeli army. An analyst with the International Crisis Group said the situation on the northern border has become, quote, extremely dangerous. It always has been, but now things are escalating. In fact, the National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, who just recently said, hey, everything's quiet on the Middle Eastern front. No worry, no concerns. He says if you really want to take this as a credible statement, and unfortunately I'm going to have to, there is a real risk of escalation of this conflict, the opening of a second front in the north, and of course Iran's involvement. Now right there he said Iran's involvement, and yet Secretary of State Blinken is saying, we have no factual evidence showing Iran is involved. They're talking out of both sides of their mouth. You know why? Because they know the $6 billion that was going to Iran might well be funding some of this. But they will also say, no, the money hasn't been released yet. So none of that money could have been used. But if Iran knows it's going to get $6 billion, they've got excess funds they can throw around to terrorists. Then there's a debate as to if we have frozen the money again. Word came out late over the weekend, or actually early in the weekend, that it's changed and gone back and forth. It is, again, the, as I call it, the blinker, turn blinker indicator, your turn signal. It's on, it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. They don't know. We don't know if the money is still frozen or not. We're going to get into that in more detail in the next hour. But they don't want to admit that maybe even offering that money to Iran, even if they take it back, gave Iran and other terrorist organizations a chance to move forward. Sullivan also added, we do see a real risk of escalation on the northern border. Same thing Trump had said, basically. Which is why President Biden has been so clear and forceful in saying no state, no group should seek to exploit the situation to their advantage or should escalate the conflict. You remember Biden saying that last week? I can do it for you right off the top of my head. He said, if you're thinking about doing that, I have one word for you. I expected probably 25 words, but he actually was accurate this time. I have one word for you. Don't. Don't. Well, he said it a second time. Same word. But they have. Hezbollah is looking at this opportunity. Other terrorist actions are looking at an opportunity. I'm looking at a piece from the French president, Macron. He also warned Hezbollah to stay out of the fight. He said Hezbollah and Lebanon must, quote, exercise restraint to avoid opening a second front in the region. The first victim will be Lebanon. No pretext should be given for Lebanon to slide once again into war, especially since Lebanon is extremely weakened by the absence of functional authorities at its head for many months, which means Hezbollah basically is controlling Lebanon. You've got the French president saying it. You've got Biden saying, don't open the north. They've got to worry about it. And then when Trump makes a remark, you know, it looks like Hezbollah is going to be smarter than these guys are because they're going to probably start on the northern front. Well, you all suspected that was going to happen. Coming up, the stories coming out of this have been absolutely terrifying, shocking, and even bringing tears when you hear some of the stories. Coming up, an Israeli teen escaped death on the day of the Hamas attack.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want to give someone something which they will really enjoy? Give them a Cafe Napoli gift card. You pick the amount, and they pick which of the Cafe Napolis they want to visit. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Cafe Napoli in Town and Country, Napoli 3 on the streets of St. Charles, or right next door, Napoli C. The Napoli gift card. It's the perfect gift for anyone or your entire office. Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I remember the hour on the clock. It was 6:22 a.m. We started hearing the alarm. I just froze. I had a panic attack and I couldn't move.
13-year-old Renana Batzer-Swissa was born and raised on the kibbutz, just miles from the border with Gaza. She says the fact that she's alive is a miracle.
Take us inside the shelter. What were you thinking?
I was thinking many moments, this is going to be my last moment. And I was so afraid if someone's coming, because are you going to rape me? Are they going to take me? Are they going to shoot me? I didn't know what could happen to me.
Hamas terrorists went door to door, slaughtering anyone they could find, including babies and children. Renana and her family spent 16 hours hiding.
What did you see when you finally left the shelter?
I tried not to walk around as much as possible. I don't know if many people can understand, but the smell, it smelled like war and bad news and tears.
Tell me about your walk to freedom.
We needed to go to a bus. It was so scary. A friend of my family came to me and she told me, no, you're not crying, not now, you can't do it, you can't fall apart now. You need to focus, you need to survive, keep going. Keep walking, walk fast, run.
Run. She and her family got to safety. That was a CBS report interviewing that 13-year-old Israeli girl. She and her family got out. But when they left their bunker in their home and trying to flee, she didn't really want to look around, but you could not ignore what was in front of her. There is a story about what has been going on as to how to rescue some of those who were being held by Hamas. This is not in the Gaza Strip. This was actually in Israel. And I'm not too sure that some of it might not include the Gaza Strip, but the story doesn't indicate that, so I don't want to be over speculative. This is a Fox News report talking about an Israeli canine unit, and this information coming from the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, stating that they have canine units that are being credited with rescuing more than 200 civilians, even while under fire in communities near the Gaza Strip. Israeli soldiers paired with their canines went on several rescue missions that did rescue hostages, saved lives, eliminated terrorists in the process who barricaded themselves in the house. That's according to the IDF. Commanders and soldiers from Israel's canine unit were split up into three different companies, trying to take a more active role in combat near the Strip. They killed at least 10 Hamas terrorists that they know of. In one battle, a canine named Naro, N-A-R-O, was sent to find terrorists and weapons, but ended up revealing location of a planned ambush on Israeli forces and began attacking the Hamas gunman. Israeli forces were able to neutralize the ambush after Naro began the attacking and the barking. The canine was shot and killed in the fighting. Israeli soldiers were able to locate his remains and returning to their base for burial. In another incident, a canine named Charlie was able to locate a senior Hamas leader and initiate contact before Israeli soldiers were able to support that dog and apprehend the terrorist. According to the commander of the Israeli canine units, they're going to now turn their attention to offensive operations against Hamas in the Gaza Strip. He said the next step is to enter the Gaza Strip. The mission is to neutralize all the terrorists that we confront, and we're ready, we're strong, we're united, we're going to win. Now, again, here's an update report, which is far off the numbers we have been getting from Americans being held. This one says only about 30. I'm sorry, this is a report to Americans killed. 30 Americans killed, 1,300 Israelis. Israel's estimating 1,500 Hamas terrorists have been killed inside Israel, not knowing how many might be dead in the rubble of the Gaza Strip. By the way, the IDF points out the canine unit operates with specially trained dogs for missions in the field of counterterrorism, search and rescue, operating all across the country. And they go through difficult selection and testing before joining and then trained to have a specialty in locating weapons, explosives, things of that nature. And then the stories that are beginning to surface, as we're seeing some calling that there's not enough being said to condemn the terrorists. And that is not only in our nation, unfortunately, but even in the Vatican. There are calls on the Pope, Israel calling on Pope Francis to issue clear and unequivocal condemnation of the terrorist attack. The words that have come out of the Vatican since the attack basically say that the Vatican made a statement appealing for the immediate release of Israeli hostages, but also criticized Israel's total siege on Palestinians in Gaza. The Pope said it is the right of those who are attacked to defend themselves, but I'm very concerned about the total siege under which Palestinians are living in Gaza and whether there have been many innocent victims. I have no doubt there have been. But what do you want to do? You just want to let terrorists attack and say, oh, okay, we'll just collect our dead. You go back to your homes. Nothing will happen to you. And those who are at risk in the Gaza Strip are at risk because Hamas is centered in the civilian communities, putting their weapons, their leadership in basements, houses, right inside the areas where the citizens live, believing we can use our own people, the Gaza citizens, as a shield. And now we've got hostages. We can use them as well. Another statement from the Pope: terrorism and extremism do not help reach a solution to the conflict between Israelis and Palestinians. Well, that's correct. But then add, but they fuel hatred, violence, revenge, only cause each other to suffer. But where were the first shots fired the other day? And who opened the fire? And what innocents were killed then? Short of his remarks, the American Catholic, George Weigel, considered American Catholic intellectual, he also criticized the Pope for reverting to the Vatican's, quote, default position of appealing to both sides for restraint in a case where a more straightforward condemnation was in order. Then the Israeli embassy, the Holy See, issued a statement warning against Vatican declarations that could suggest, as they do, equal guilt of victims and the perpetrators for the Saturday attack a week ago. There is no excuse. None. You can have your debate over the land, the territory, and should there be a Palestinian state and an Israeli state. But running in and shooting innocent, unarmed women, children, if any of you listening think there's a good explanation for that, do not come to me directly about it, because we're not going to get along very well immediately. There is no such excuse, period. Coming up, more on some of how the Israeli events are unfolding, and I mentioned FBI worried about terrorists in the U.S. We've got an attack to talk about.